Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Talking TV with my mum, the weekly Geekdom review roundup podcast where we chat about various geeky slash genre TV shows. What do we have this week? We've got only a few things this week because various things have been off for various reasons. So this week we will be discussing The Expanse Episode 2, we'll be discussing Supergirl, and we'll be discussing the finale, final ever episode of Arrow. We'll also have a few little other things peppered in there, but yeah, that's the main bulk of today's podcast. If you want to know where these things occur, check in the description box and there'll be timestamps for all of these things, so you can jump around if necessary, but we would prefer if you listen from start to finish. That would be great. If you are listening on YouTube, then thank you very much. If you can hit that thumbs up button and leave us a like, if you can leave your comments for us, and the comments will be featured on the show, as we've got a couple of them today. And also subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so already. I would really, really appreciate you helping to grow the numbers of this Kingdom of Geeks so we can grow bigger and better. More people will become aware of us, more people will become aware of the podcast and everything else that I do on my channel. YouTube will recommend me more, all of that kind of good stuff. So you'll be really helping in a big way. And that the same goes for all the interaction too. If you are listening to us on an audio-only platform, then welcome. Thank you very much for listening. If it's your first time here, then we're really glad to have you. And same thing applies. If you want to come over to the YouTube channel, that would be great. There should be a link on the podcast player that you're listening to in the description. If there are ways to leave us comments on whatever you're listening on, then please do that. And if not, you can either contact me via Twitter or you can just jump onto the video version on YouTube and leave something in the comments section. Yeah, that's something that's completely doable for you as well. But yeah, we love feedback. We love hearing from you guys. So please do that. In my description box, as well as the timestamps, you will find a whole bunch of links, which I'm not expecting you to do anything with, but it really, really would help if you did. They include the link to my Twitter, the link to the merch shop. So if you want to represent the Kingdom of Geeks and get yourself a Geek Mom t-shirt or a Geek Dom hoodie or something like that, then check those things out. There are also a couple of donation links. There's Patreon and there's Ko-fi. So if you would like to help support the future of the channel, the future of the podcast, help towards equipment, help towards funding bits and pieces, then there are two methods for you to do so. And you know, at the moment, we don't have any sponsors or anything like this for the podcast, so we're not making any money. So that's the only way at the moment that we potentially can make any money to put back into the channel. So if you can help, that would really be gratefully appreciated. There is also a link for Green Man Gaming, which is a digital game shop. If you want to buy any digital games, click on the link in my description and it will take you to their shop where you can purchase anything. And anything you do buy, I will receive a commission from the company. It doesn't cost you any extra money. They don't add anything onto the bill. So you'll be helping me without really helping me, just by buying yourself games. So that's a pretty sweet deal. And that's about it. That's all the housekeeping. So without further ado, I will introduce my co-host. So hello there, Mum. Are you there?
Yes. Hello, Dom. I'm good. Thank you.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Good, good. So yes. Happy with last week's podcast?
Yes. Yes, it was good.
Did you enjoy the happy birthday music?
Yes, I loved it. I was singing around, bopping around to that at the end. I thought that was so cool. Did like that.
Yeah, I, obviously, because I never mentioned that to you at the time. No. And I was like, well, it's a birthday episode, so we should have the happy birthday song in there.
Yeah, I thought it was a great idea.
And then I found that sort of funky... It was an 80s version or 80s style happy birthday or something. It's from the YouTube music studio. So it's like a copyright free bit of music. And they had loads of different variations of happy birthday. And I was like, oh, I like this one. This kind of
that was perfect.
Boppy, funky, retro feeling one. So I'll put that in the background when we're talking. And then obviously at the end as well to play us out.
That was great. It's different, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did enjoy that.
And speaking of the birthday episode, obviously the birthday episode is done and dusted. We are now a year old. This is our first podcast of the going into the next year. But do feel free to go back and listen to that podcast. There should be a little, if you're on the YouTube channel, there should be a little eye appearing on the screen right now, which you can click to take you to that one. Don't do it right yet. Wait, listen to this first and then go back and do it. but yeah, you can still listen. We do talk about a few other things. It's, you know, I know some of the shows are based on a week by week basis, but you can still go in and have a listen to us ramble on about various things and still leave us messages. We have received lots of messages. I got congratulations and happy birthday messages on Twitter, which was nice. So that was lovely. You know, people said, congratulations, happy birthday. Oh, I can't believe it's been a year and all of
this.
No cake,
though. No cake.
Although Mellow Lou, I must say, the one person, he did say, clearly listened. And in response, he left a tweet which said about belated cake. And he said, I'm bringing you a belated cake. I hear, what did he say? I can't remember the wording now, but he said, I hear those things are really popular or something. And that was in reference to, we actually said that about belated cake.
Yeah.
So he kind of quoted, but, you know, sort of changed it slightly.
Thank you.
So, yeah. And he put a picture. I think he put a picture. Yeah. Of a.
Yeah, because I said even if it's just a picture. I said a picture of cake, a belated cake.
Yeah. So thank you, Mello. Thank you, Mello Lou, for the belated cake. we've not done too badly. Obviously, we're still finding our feet out in the world of podcasting. I know we've been on the YouTube channel for a while, but in terms of being an MP3 podcast, it's still new. So we haven't had a massive amount of people coming to us yet, but hopefully that's going to change. The longer we're out there, the more episodes that go up, the more awareness. So if you are aware of us, why not share us with people? Why not tell people about us? Why not retweet stuff about the podcast? Get people knowing that we exist more, and then that'll bring in more people to listen, and then that'll sort of rank us higher in things like iTunes and stuff like that, which means that more people will come. So yeah, that would be great. But we had about 40 something overall listens, like including YouTube and all of the podcast platforms. So in comparison to a lot of people, that's probably a drop in the ocean, but that's not too bad for us.
No, not considering we're new to it all, that side of it. So that's all right, isn't it?
Yeah. So thank you very much for everybody that has listened. We appreciate that. And we hope to continue entertaining you.
Yes.
So we had a couple of comments that I just wanted to go through quickly. Had a comment from TJ, who's now going under the name VXR. Who said, he said about not being able to respond on Twitter, but he said, I'm listening to this on my way to work. Keep doing these, please.
Yay.
And then he sent me some messages later on saying about, like, really enjoyed listening to the podcast and that, you know, we have to keep doing them because he really enjoys them. So that was cool.
Thank you.
And then we had a lovely comment from, who is Skippy?
Yay, Skippy.
Skippy says, well, I'll tell you who's happy to see this on Apple Podcasts. This guy.
Hey, it's a Molly Burke now.
Yeah. Thanks, Geek Dom and Geek Mom, for keeping my title as Guest Dom number one alive.
You said we would.
Yep. I refused to give my title to your local anti-hero, but I was sad to hear he couldn't make his appearance on the episode.
Yeah.
So in true Skippy fashion, I have a question straight out of the pouch.
Oh.
What was your favourite moment from your podcast in 2019? Stay safe and much love to you both. Favourite moment.
So many. I mean, personally, I've loved all the ones where we've had a laugh, like Orville, definitely Preacher, Good Omens.
Yeah.
You're like when we've had the, like,
comedy.
It was more
stuff.
Yeah, comedy. Yeah, there's a lot of laughter and risque moments where it was like, how are we going to talk about this on a podcast? But we managed to do it. But yeah, I like those sort of the upbeat bits we did.
Yeah.
The best in last year's one. What about you?
Yeah, for me, I would say, apart from obviously having Skippy on as a guest, obviously.
Oh, yes, of course.
That goes without saying. That was definitely a highlight.
That was the highlight, probably, of the year.
But aside from that, I would say that the crisis stuff we did was, for me, was really good because I'd been looking forward to, I mean, I know we both had, but like as a big comic book nerd and stuff, I'd been really looking forward to seeing how are they going to do this on TV? You know, is it going to be a television like on the scale of like Avengers Endgame in terms of really big scope, special effects, you know, cool moments and stuff like that. And it was, it didn't fail to deliver. I mean,
it was very exciting.
Best moment for me still, if we're talking about 2019, then we have to talk about the first three parts, I suppose. So that would be the Lucifer cameo.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Seeing Lucifer, awesome. That for me was a highlight. And you and me talking about it and how excited we got when we were talking about it on the podcast, that's something that stands out as a highlight for me. The other highlight, I suppose, would be, I mean, there's been lots of things said over the course of the year, but about how everything's better with dragons.
Yeah. Yes, we've got that. Well, we've even got one on the show, so.
Yes.
Excuse me, I am a dragon. So, you know, everything has to have a dragon.
It's funny because when we had that conversation that week, then shortly after that, several things had dragons in them. And it was just really, really amusing because it was like, it's like we kind of predicted something without specifically predicting anything. We had this conversation about dragons and then dragons showed up in several programs.
In everything
that
we watched.
So yeah, that was quite fair. It's like that episode of The Witcher. It was like, you know, you got the episode of The Witcher and then it was like, oh, dragon. Everything's better with dragons, you know.
Yeah, very funny.
So
there we have got a dragon in their life.
Absolutely. But there we go, Skippy. Hopefully you're happy with that. What was your, you know, have you got a highlight moment from 2019?
Apart from coming on our show.
Apart from coming on our show, yeah, let us know. Let us know what your highlight moment was. That would be great.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's pretty much it. Now, in terms of news and things like that, I don't have a great deal really this week. Just like, okay, so The Witcher, we mentioned that quickly.
Yes.
So The Witcher has been confirmed that it will be returning for a second season next year. So 2021. I originally thought it was the following year, but no, it's 2021 that is coming out. So that's not so bad. We've only got a year to wait. Yeah.
That's right.
So that's quite cool. But in the meantime, they've announced that I've now found out more information about this, but they are doing an animated film.
Okay.
So the first news that came out, it said there was going to be a Witcher anime. So it's like, oh, okay, so they're doing an animated series. But no, it turns out it's just going to be a feature, like an animated movie.
Okay.
And it's going to be like a prequel in some ways. It's going to deal with the guy that basically brought up and mentored Geralt.
Oh, all right.
If you remember, in the last, sorry, spoilers, if nobody's watched this, I apologize. So this is your moment to tune out for a second. Yeah, in the final episode, you know, you had that bit where Geralt was having all those flashbacks to when he was a kid and stuff like that.
Yes.
And then there was a bit, and we never saw the person. We just heard the voice. When he was like left on the road, there was a man's voice that said that he'd been waiting for him, or he'd been there, he was there to collect him or something.
Mm-hmm.
And we never saw the guy. We just heard
the
voice.
No, just see nothing, yeah.
Well, that's the guy that the animated movie is going to be about.
Ah.
So it's going to be about the guy that brings up Geralt and sort of trains him and makes him a witcher and stuff like that. So it's going to add more layers to the story of, like, who is this person? So I presume the reason they're putting that in there is that maybe he'll then appear in live action
in
the next season. So it'll add more layers to the story because it'll be like, oh, we know this character with, and they don't have to then use time in the live action episodes dedicated
like flashbacks
to his
and
story.
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
So yeah, that could be interesting. We will see. I think that's going to be later on this year that comes out. So
yeah.
Cool. And that'll be on Netflix as well.
Yeah.
What else was there? Oh, I heard Legends has already been renewed for a sixth season, so that's cool.
Yay, of course.
So that'll definitely be coming back, so that's really, really good.
Excellent.
Oh, yeah, obviously the fact that I mentioned we've only got a few programs this week, it's because weird things going on. American television, no offense, American listeners, but like it's very odd the way that they mess about with their scheduling. So there's no Supergirl this week. Or Batwoman or anything. And the reason is because it's the Super Bowl this weekend. Mm. So they're like, oh, well, people... I mean, I always wonder, I'm like, but not everybody is into sports. Like, not everybody watches sports. Even in America, where, like, American football is such a big deal, not everybody watches it.
No.
So surely there'd still be people watching Supergirl. But because they don't want the risk of their ratings, because everything's about the ratings and this, that, and the other, they don't want that affected by these kind of things. So they just go, oh, we're going to have a break for a week or so.
Well, considering they've just had a long break, it's annoying. More than anything, isn't it? We've like waited since before Christmas for them to come back, and now like, oh, just getting into them and they're off. But to fair, they do that in this country when we have like big tournaments. They do mess about with the TV scheduling as well, don't they?
Yeah,
not on as a bigger scale as this. They don't like not have it on at all. They might move around the times of it. But in America, they just go, right, we're not showing that at all.
Yeah, and it's a little bit annoying because, like you said, you come back from a break. So, like, we had a break from all these things over Christmas. They all come back, and then they're off again. Like, obviously, the Flash hasn't been on. The Flash is back next week, depending on when you're listening to it. And Legends didn't take a break, did it? Oh, no, yes, it did.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, Legends had a break this week. Yeah. So that was... But then Legends, the reason Legends took a break was because they wanted to dedicate the evening to the finale of Arrow. So they've changed the scheduling up so that when the Flash comes back, Flash and Legends will be on the same night.
Yeah.
So they wanted to sort of get Arrow out of the way and I suppose give it the spotlight and just sort of say, don't worry about any of the other shows this week. Let's worry about Arrow.
This is a big show, the pinnacle show.
Yeah.
They wanted to get as much audience for that, didn't they?
Yeah.
That's fair enough for that reason, but yeah. But
it is a little bit annoying when it gets so disjointed, but there we go. I can't think of... Oh, new thing coming to Netflix very soon. Some people may be aware of this. I'm looking forward to it, and you should check it out as well too, Mum, is something called Lock and Key.
Ooh,
now it's Locke as in LOCKE.
Right.
It's a supernatural horror mystery show. It's another adaptation. So it's based on graphic novels. So another comic book based show. The best way I can describe it is a slightly more mature, slightly more scary Lemony Snicket in a way. Mm. In that, like, you've got the main protagonists are a bunch of well, they're not kids as in the Lemony Snicket, they're like teenagers, but they go to this mysterious house, and this house has lots of doors and things that are all locked, and they all require specific keys, but all those doors lead to different places, different realms, and different, you know, realities and things like this. The central plot of all of that is to do with these doorways and to do with these mysterious keys, but also the fact that there is a demonic entity that is stalking these teens that for some reason wants the keys for itself.
Okay.
And that's the basic rough sort of outline of it.
Right.
I saw the trailer a little while ago. I forgot to mention it to you, but they did have like a trailer reveal and it looks really good. It was like, wow, this looks really cool. The visual effects and stuff and the tone of the show and everything. It just seems like it's going to be quite exciting.
So look that up then when that comes out.
I think it debuts on the 7th.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's not too long.
There'll be one we'll touch on, like a little highlight of it. Maybe.
Yeah. Like we will give it a mention and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, we haven't watched Picard yet, either of us, so we can't really talk about that. But we will be watching it as soon as we can.
Because
I, for one, I really want to get into it and find out. I'm having to desperately avoid stuff online whenever anything there's a mention of Picard. I'm like, no, keep scrolling. Don't look at that. Don't want anything given away.
No.
I think that's kind of it for now. The only other thing I wanted to touch on briefly, we don't talk about it on the show as such, but Doctor Who deserves a bit of a mention.
Oh, yes, this week's.
Wow. What an episode.
We were both very pleased with that, weren't we?
Mind was blown out of my head. Because we had, obviously, all of the previews and that were like, oh, the Jadoon, the Rhino Police are coming back. So that in itself was cool. And it was like, oh, it's going to be an episode to do with the Jadoon. What are they going to be doing in it? What's the episode going to be? Nothing could prepare us for what else they had in store in that episode. I mean, welcome back, John Barrowman. We've missed you.
Fabulous.
That was amazing. I love that moment with him because I don't know about you, but sat there. So Graham's been transported to this strange ship and then he's wondering where he is. And then you hear this voice And it's like, that voice is kind of familiar. Who is that? Wait, I think I reckon. Wait, is it? No, it can't be. It is, isn't it? And then he's like, are you ready? You better get time to get excited or whatever he says. And then he appears and it's like, oh my God, it's Captain Jack. He's back. After 10 years, we finally get Captain Jack back on Doctor Who.
Yes.
So I'm hoping they gave the impression that obviously he is going to be returning again. We don't know when, but I found out something very interesting about Doctor Who. And I'm wondering now, Chris Chibnall apparently has said that Captain Jack won't be returning this season. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean he won't. He may still show up in the finale and they just don't want to give it away. But he may not be returning this season, but we're actually getting a bonus episode this year. Now, I don't know when it's going to happen because it hasn't got a date yet, but we've got, this season has got 10 episodes.
Yeah.
So we're on number 5. So this today, if you're listening on the Sunday or whatever, then it's the 6th episode. And then that's it. But there's going to be an additional episode, like a special. But it says 2020. It doesn't say 2021. So it's not going to be like New Year's Day like they've been doing.
Yeah.
So it means it's going to happen at some point this year. Ooh. So whether it's going to be later in the year, whether it's going to be on like Easter Monday, Easter Sunday,
yeah,
or if they're going to go, guess what? We're going to give you a Christmas Day episode for the first time in a couple of years. I don't know. Because like I said, there's no date. It just says 2020. But the fact that we're getting a special, and he said Captain Jack's not returning this season, maybe they're saving that for the special.
For the special, yeah.
Because there's a lot of theories swirling around at the moment, because they've introduced a whole bunch of elements now. After all the criticism of last year of, oh, single stories, there's no overarching story arc, this, that, and the other. They've more than made up for it already.
Yeah.
Because we've got a new master with so many questions about him. We've got the potential concept of multiverse. We're not entirely sure yet. We've got another doctor. In quotes, doctor. We still don't know a lot about that. We've got the destruction of Gallifrey, the timeless child, the lone Cyberman. You know, there's like all these different things are getting thrown in there. The doctor saying something's coming for her and all these other weird little elements that are being thrown in this season. That's a lot to cover in 5 episodes.
Yes.
So I don't think all of this, we might get some more layers to these stories before the end of this season, but I don't think it's all going to be wrapped up and done and dusted by the end of the season.
There's too much.
So it's possible that some of these things will carry over. Maybe the season will end on a cliffhanger and then we pick up on that in the special, because they've done that before. Like if you go back to like David Tennant's era and Matt Smith's era and stuff, they've done it where you have had a storyline that's kind of gone over multiple seasons and they've sort of brought in more detail or bigger scope or something in a special episode. So it's potentially Chibnall's going to do that. He's going to go, well, look, this worked in the past, so this is what we're going to do now, the format for this one. I'm also wondering about the long-term plan. So there was a lot of criticism of season 11. A lot of people were, this not very good. Jodie's Doctor isn't great. The stories aren't fantastic. It's all political correctness. There's no overarching story, blah, 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 blah. Ratings went down. The popularity of the show went down and it was like, oh, this worrying Doctor Who's in crisis and all of this kind of stuff. And then it comes back and then you've got all these cool elements being thrown in. I mean, so far we've had 5 episodes. I would say 4 out of the 5 have been great.
Yeah, definitely.
The only one that dipped a little bit was that weird, slightly preachy potential Earth in the future where global warming and everything turned into a wasteland, which could have been a really interesting episode if they'd handled it slightly differently, but they didn't. But the other 4 have all been really, really good. So I'm hoping that we're going to get the rest of the episodes are also going to be very good.
Yeah, I hope so.
And I think it's bring it like this. I mean, all week since that episode, the internet has been ablaze. You know, YouTube's been ablaze with people talking about this. Now, they might be talking about it in the negative. They might be talking about it in the positive. They might be talking about it in the, I don't know what's going on. But the fact is, it sparked a big conversation again about Doctor Who that's not attached to political correctness, that's not attached to, you know, issues or anything. It's talking about science fiction storytelling.
Yes.
And that's fantastic. You know, this one episode has done a massive amount. So I'm hoping that it means that people that maybe switched off will get back into it again and go, oh, actually, because Chibnall said, I don't know if you remember, but when he first got this job, he said he had a 5-year plan for Doctor Who. And he said he was going to approach it in the way that he did Broadchurch, where it was going to be layered storytelling. So it was going to be, you're not going to get everything in one go. There might be some resolutions, but there's going to be plenty of little things that will carry over to the next season, et cetera, et cetera. It's going to be like a whodunit, you know, who's behind it, what's going on type thing. I'm now wondering, looking at this, I'm going, was this the plan then? So season one was, let's establish Jodie and the companions. Let's not worry about a story arc. We'll do individual episodes because that way we can focus more on the characters.
Yeah.
Who they are, what makes them tick, what's their story, what's their personality, where do they fit in Team TARDIS and things like this. We'll throw a little nugget of something in there that we won't do anything with that will make people ask questions, but we won't resolve it. That was obviously the Timeless Child.
Timeless Child, yeah.
Then you go into season two and then they're like, here's this thing, here's that thing, here's the other thing, here's all these elements that you're familiar with from Doctor Who. Yeah, we didn't have them before, but we're bringing them all back again. Maybe the bridging thing was the special episode they did with the Dalek, because it's like, oh, here's a returning enemy, which we said we weren't going to have any returning enemies in the season, which they didn't. And then they brought back the Dalek. And then now we're going into this season and they're talking about Cybermen. There's obviously Jadoon, you know, the Master, Gallifrey, all of these kind of old Doctor Who elements are coming back again. So maybe this is part of the 5-year plan, that maybe we'll look back on the first Jodie's first season, once we get maybe the end of this season or even into season three of hers, and go, actually, on balance, that season wasn't as bad now, because now you're seeing it as part of a bigger picture rather than looking at it.
Yeah, it's all piecing it together, yeah.
Yeah, because I think, because we were looking at it in isolation, we were looking at it as that season on its own and saying it's not quite hit those standards, we don't quite like these stories, we feel a bit let down by this, that and the other, but maybe then when you put it into context with everything else, you go, oh, that's why they did this. Oh, that makes more sense now. Oh, now I understand why they did this. Oh, wait, I like that episode more now because of how it connects to this thing that they've just introduced in this episode, you know, and things like that. I hope, anyway.
Hopefully.
But yeah, there's a lot of mystery and there's a lot of conversation about this new Doctor. A lot of conversation.
Yeah.
Both excitement and fear. Because, you know, a lot of people are like, please don't screw up the canon. Please don't mess up, you know, say something like, oh, she comes before William Hartnell. So William Hartnell is no longer the first Doctor. But then that would make sense, because how would she have a TARDIS that looks like a police box? Because we saw that, you know, when the Doctor first stole the TARDIS, it was just like a grey cylinder.
Yeah.
And it became a police box because he landed in 60s London.
Yeah, to blend in.
It blended in, yeah. The chameleon arch made it blend in so it wouldn't stand out like a sore thumb. And then it broke so that it got stuck in that state and couldn't change into anything else. So for her to have a TARDIS that looks like a police box means that she would have to happen after William Hartnell.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, the one thing that people keep... I have to say this now, because, again, I know we don't talk about Doctor Who, but this is one moment where I can talk publicly on the internet about my theory that I haven't heard people talking about. Lots of people have been talking about, you know, the whole coming before him, before William Hartnell thing. Lots of people talking about, oh, this might be another regeneration that takes place between Doctors 2 and 3, which is possible because there is a gap in the storytelling there, because we never saw Patrick Troughton become John Pertwee. It happened off screen. And there's some ancillary material out there that suggests that there was another version of the Doctor between those that... Now, this could work as well, because we found out this Doctor was working for somebody and she had left her assignment and she was being chased as a fugitive and things like this. So this could work in that way, because there's this story that, like, the Doctor was coerced into acting as an agent for the Time Lords and working for the CIA, not as in like the terrestrial based CIA, but I think it's called the Celestial Intelligence Agency or something like that.
Okay.
And through the course of that, the Doctor was made to go on all these missions and do all this work on behalf of this agency. And at the end of it, the whether I can't, I'm not 100% on this, so don't quote me, anybody, but like the Doctor rebelled, or the Doctor was, the usefulness was up or something like that. And so then this version of the Doctor was erased. So they erased that version. They regressed the regeneration back to Patrick Troughton, wiped the memory of that Doctor ever existing, and then Troughton regenerated into Pertwee. So then that would explain why Jodie and Joe, the new Doctor, don't have any memory of each other, because her incarnation of the Doctor was wiped from existence.
Yeah.
So then it sort of, it could fit, because there is a gap in existing Doctor Who storytelling where it could fit in quite nicely, and they wouldn't be messing up anything, because they'd go, well, this is just an element of the story that's never been told. It's a gap that was left open for us, and we're just filling that gap finally after all these years. So that's a possibility. But my theory is not that. My theory, I like that theory, but I like the idea that Captain Jack said something about the Alliance. Now, we don't know who the Alliance is. Now, potentially they're the same Alliance that came together when the Pandorica opened, which was, you know, the Cybermen, the Daleks, sort of the Weeping Angels, these, they like joined forces to make this thing, this group. It could be them. It could be a new force called the Alliance. We don't really know. But he said they sent something back in time. He said, and he said they sent that thing. Now, he didn't say specifically what that thing was, but he said that they sent that thing back in time. Now, could that thing be the, what's being called the Ruthless Doctor? Could it be Ruth? Because she's been on Earth, or she was, her timeline, from as far as we know, goes from 1999.
Okay.
So her memories go, like, as being Ruth, are from that period, because she said that as such when, before she became the Doctor. So if that's the case, if her memories start in 1999, is that the point where she was sent back to? So maybe she is the Doctor from the future, but maybe not in the way, maybe not in the, like, a regeneration. Maybe she was artificially created, and that's what the Master got wind of, and that's why the Master went crazy, and that's why the Master destroyed Gallifrey, because he was disgusted with the fact that the Time Lords created this, what he regarded as an abomination or so. I don't know. I mean, it's all, you know, it's all loose, sketchy. I don't have that theory hammered out, but I just thought about, nobody's picking up on this line where Captain Jack said about the fact that they sent that thing back in time.
Yeah.
And it's like the fact she's got her TARDIS looks retro on the inside. So
yes, definitely.
Going back in time would fit with the older versions of the Doctor. And then her not knowing about Jodie, if she was like artificially created or something, she wouldn't know about Jodie because she doesn't have those memories. Jodie doesn't know about her because she hasn't occurred yet. So even though she seems like an older incarnation, she hasn't actually happened. So she's not in the past, but they've somehow slotted her into the past. But technically speaking, she didn't occur in the past, if you know what I mean.
No, yeah.
So maybe, I don't know. That's, you know, that's just an idea. I mean, there's 101 ideas out there. And
anyone that watches it, if you've got any good ideas on that, let us know.
Yeah. But yeah, so anyway, that's Doctor Who. I felt it deserved a mention because it was peak sci-fi television over this past week, and like I said, it's been talked about all over the internet, so I thought we would have to get our 2 pence in. So there we go. Right, have you got anything else that you would like to add in?
No, don't think so. No.
Okay, in which case then let's get underway with this week's reviews.
Yes,
and we will start with Episode 2, Season 4, Episode 2 of The Expanse, and this episode is called Jetsam. I think we do this in two parts, because effectively this story did happen in two parts. So rather than jumping backwards and forwards, let's talk about the Bobby stuff in its entirety, and then let's talk about our gang of heroes on Illus.
Right, go on then, you start there. You can start.
Bobby, as we saw in the last episode, is back on Mars. She's no longer a soldier, and she's working in, like, was it like a engineering job, a mechanic job?
Yeah, kind of thing. She's been like downgraded, hasn't she?
Yeah, so she's kind of like working on ships and doing scrapping and this, that, and the other, you know. So she's got a mundane sort of Monday to Friday 9 to 5 type job.
Yep.
during the course of all of this, she is pulled in for questioning because something's happened. There's been a, was it a murder or a, just a violent assault?
No, a murder.
It was a murder. Yeah. And because of her background, because she's an ex-soldier, because she seems to have a bit of a chip on her shoulder, and because of the nature of how this murder went down and the techniques that were used, she gets pulled in and she's like being questioned as if she's a suspect for this, isn't she?
Yeah, yeah.
She's getting lots of grief from people based on her past and things like this. She did get an invitation that came through. She got an invitation to a dinner from our croaky voice lady.
Christian, yeah.
Yes, who was going to be going to Mars to have a big fancy state dinner with the ambassador or the president of Mars or whatever it is.
Yeah, the PM.
Yeah.
Prime Minister.
And she sent her an invite and sort of said, you know, you're requested as a honoured guest to this special state dinner thing. Yes. And this woman, when she was interrogating her, she picked up on that, didn't she? And she sort of said about, she was questioning her loyalty to Mars and questioning her place on Mars and sort of saying, oh, well, you know, you don't seem too happy here, and getting invitations from, you know, the Terran United Nations leader and things like this, you know, and she sort of really just questioning Bobby's character and say, asking her about her military training, you know, how to choke a man out, you know, how to do this, you know, how to do that. And basically stacking all the chips against her and saying, in my opinion, you're guilty.
Yeah.
They didn't have a lot to go on, though, did they? It seems like it's a lot of kind of circumstantial evidence.
Yeah, there'd been somewhere near what happened or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, she'd been seen in the vicinity of where it occurred or something. But there was no direct link between her and this crime, apart from, like I said, circumstantial evidence. And I think she had been umming and ahhing about whether to accept this invitation or not, I think. And because of that...
Was that woman who was having a go at her, she pressed accept, didn't she?
It was like a, screw you. If I'm going to be treated this way by my own people, maybe I'll go somewhere where I'm appreciated a bit more.
Because I think the reason they'd be so off with her is because she was involved in last season where she saved the Terran woman, didn't she?
Yeah.
And so they feel like her loyalties aren't towards Mars anymore because she, you know, she got involved in that on the wrong side, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And so she's now being treated like she's worthless, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So she thought, no, I'm going to go.
Yeah. We did see a little bit with Christian, obviously leaving Earth, getting on a ship.
Oh, and then... my God, I love their ship.
Yeah.
Where the wings unfolded as it came out. I love
so cool. The effects, again, the budget for this show is amazing.
Yeah, she was with her husband, wasn't she?
Yeah, we got to see her husband, and she was like, I'm so glad that you could join me for this and stuff like that. So that was quite a sweet little moment because she hasn't seen him in person for a while, has she? Because the last time...
No, because they used to talk via like
video
a hologram-y
screen thing. Yeah.
Video thing, yeah. So it was nice to actually see them together, wasn't it?
So they travel to Mars and we have this big dinner anyway, and Bobby decides to go and she's all dressed up and she arrives there. And when she first gets there, one of these people wants to try and question her or something. They're sort of like,
they're stopping her going in, weren't they? They were saying, yeah, you should be here, what are you doing in? Luckily that lady came along and said, come along, I've got a place for you at the table.
Yeah, it's like, and she's
she has an invitation,
a VIP invitation.
Yeah, yeah.
So she took,
she was
her
sat
along
at the table with all the dignitaries and everything, wasn't she?
Yeah, but she was sat right at the very end, wasn't she?
I know, and those men were so mean. She sort of went hello and they just looked at her like, oh, what are you doing here?
Yeah,
so she sat down thinking, oh, and then Christian's husband went and sat next to her,
which was quite nice. And then he was like, she's told me so much about you, I'm really really happy to get to meet you in person, which I thought was really nice. I thought, you know, obviously these things have a protocol, so certain people would have had to sit higher up the table. So as much as she's like her friend and this, that and the other, I'm sure she couldn't, as much as she might have liked to have had her sat right next to her, it's like you have to abide by certain protocols.
Yeah, because even her husband was seated right at the other end, wasn't he?
So it was nice that the husband was sat next to her, and she caught sight of her when she came in, because she was sat at the head of the table with the Martian Prime Minister. She caught sight of Bobby chatting to her husband, didn't she? And she sort of smiled and looked over as if to say, oh, I'm glad that you could make it, kind of thing.
Yeah. And they were talking about that guy that got killed in the conflict, didn't they?
Yeah. Now, this was a point of contention, wasn't it?
Mm. Because that was to do with them two, wasn't it?
Yes. So it was all the stuff to do with last season. And when Christian was giving this talk about solidarity with Mars and about the fact that they are all human beings, you know, they might live on different planets, but they are joined together as a species and working together about this uncertain future. And she talked about what happened with the big conflict last year. And she's talking about this captain, and she was talking about him in quite a positive way. But I think it was to sort of smooth things over with the Martian dignitaries.
Yeah.
But Bobby knowing, well, this guy was an asshole. Yeah, this guy wasn't a nice person. You're trying to make him sound like he was a hero. And she got really offended by all of this and got pissed off, really. Yeah, and the fact she was invited there and she was sort of singled out, oh, yes, you know, sort of, you know, gestured to her being there and stuff. And it's like, I'm here as like almost like a token soldier, you know, oh, this good soldier of Mars was here and she was involved in all of it. And she sort of felt really annoyed about, you invited me not because you're my friend or you felt you owed me something. You invited me to be, you know, to just be a
political thing, wasn't
it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So she left in a huff, didn't she?
Yeah. And then Christian caught up with her, didn't she?
Yeah, Christian saw she'd left and chased after her, didn't she? And said, like, look, I invited you here because, you know, you're my friend and I think highly of you and I want to offer you a job. Now, I'm wondering the job, because the other little thing we did see with Christian when she was on her way to Mars, she got on the news, it said that the Home Secretary was resigning.
That's right.
So whether she's thinking, I'd like you to take that job, Bobby, or she wanted Bobby to take another job, we don't know what the job was. She just basically said, look, these, what did she call them? Did she say they were arseholes or something? I can't remember. Or pricks. Yeah, pricks.
I love the way she comes out with
them. These pricks here don't appreciate you. And she's like, come and work for me. You know, Mars doesn't give a damn about you. And that's shown in the way that they treat you. So come and work for me instead. And she just sort of looked at her like, ugh, and sort of stormed off like, screw you.
Yeah, she's like almost saying no. Yeah. Anyway, leave me alone.
But she's got a good point, because Mars doesn't seem to give a damn about Bobby right now. So it's like maybe she would be better off going to work for her.
Yeah, she'll probably think about it.
Yes. So the other thing was the little sub-story to do with her nephew.
Yeah.
And that her nephew was like going out quite late, and she's sort of like, where are you going at this time? And he's like, what did he say? I'm going to meet a friend or something. So she was like, why is he going out to unknown places at this time of night? So she followed him. And he went to this sort of slightly seedier, rougher sort of side of the habitat thing that they live in. And she found him in a drugs lab, basically, didn't she?
Yeah.
And there was all these like test tubes and chemicals and things, and he was creating something, some kind of drug. Did we find out what it was or anything?
No.
No. But yeah, it was almost like you see in these like things nowadays where they've got like a meth lab or something. They're cooking up the drugs and stuff like that. And he was doing that. And she was so angry.
Well, yeah, because she's responsible for him. But plus how she's being treated, she doesn't need him causing any more headaches for her, does she?
Yeah.
So that wouldn't go down well with any, you know, the way that she's being treated. Anyway, so she was so mad with him, wasn't she?
And she was like, you're leaving it. And he's like, you don't understand, I can't. These people, you don't know what they're like. And then just at that moment, these people come in. And one of them is the new girlfriend that we got introduced to last week, the nephew's girlfriend, that had been really like, oh, I've heard so much about you and all of this kind of stuff. And then then you're like, oh, this new girlfriend is part of this criminal gang. And that's how they obviously got him involved, because they also recruited him, didn't they?
Yeah.
And she was really like, she was a bit rude to Bobby, and the thugs that were with her were like, yeah, you're going to leave, you shouldn't be here and all this stuff. And then she's just like, yeah, screw this. And so she just busted out her Martian military combat training and beat the crap out of all of them. including the girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I'm not taking this rubbish.
No. And then Brilliant. She's like, he doesn't work for you anymore. And then she's like, come on, we're leaving. And he's like, you don't know what you've done. And she's like, I don't care. I'll do. And she said something like, tell your boss or whoever you work for that he's out, and if anybody comes looking, I've got plenty more where that came from or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, wow, she's such a badass.
She is. She looks so sweet. You'd think that butter would melt, really, because she sort of looks so innocent, doesn't she?
But yeah.
When she gets cracking, you don't want to mess with her.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so I imagine that's going to, maybe that'll also play into her eventually deciding to leave, that, you know, this will escalate.
She can protect him, and then she can get him some sort of position, maybe.
Yeah.
Whether he's got something away from all the, because maybe she's feeling like, I've neglected him as well, because I've been doing this and that, and I can't keep my eye on him. And the way the situation is now, maybe better to go with what Christian's offering.
Mm-hmm.
Or get him in a, like, out of the way of all these, like, hoodlums and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll have to see.
We will. But yeah, so that was the main, that was one chunk of the episode, and it kept jumping back to these moments throughout the rest of it. But like I said, rather than it being disjointed, I thought we'll just talk about it in two chunks.
Yeah, because it didn't connect really with what else was going on, did it? So
no. So the second chunk was what was going on Illus. And do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, obviously, at the beginning, we had the weird planet bit, didn't we? We had this thing with some planet and somebody talking over, saying, well, we didn't catch what he was saying, but we worked out it was Miller.
Yeah, but we couldn't really work out, because it was very echoey and garbled, wasn't it? So it was hard to work out what he was actually saying.
And we had this bit, didn't we, with the ring, wasn't it? And all the bodies from the crash, the ones that died, were all floating in it.
Was
it them? That was them, wasn't it? The ones that died in the, when the crash landed. All the bodies everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided, they thought the magnetic things were the things that had brought down the ship.
Yes. Those,
that's all they can think of.
Those bug, whatever they were, the swarm of whatever it was, yeah.
Yeah. And because they think there's
proto-molecule
on the planet, they think that these things might have infected. Because of the proto-molecule and these magnetic things, they decided to test everyone for infection, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So we had, and then we had croaky voice Christian talking to Holden about it and saying that the only way to find out is, they had to like look into more of what's on that planet, because they can't send anyone else through that ring if there's any danger.
Yeah.
So it's even more imperative that no one is allowed to get through there now because they don't know what this place is.
So they decided to like split their forces, didn't they? And they were like, well, some of us will go out and have a look at these weird structures and see how they're connected to the proto-molecule and this swarm. And I think
Amos and the captain went to the crash site, didn't
they? Yeah, because they were like, we'll go to the crash site and we'll see if we can determine a bit more, like if there's any other clues as to what happened here.
Yeah.
And that was kind of awkward. That guy.
Oh, no.
Whatever his name, what's his name? Murtry or something his name is?
Yeah, Owen. We'll just call him Owen.
Owen, yeah.
Yeah, because they didn't really sort of like each other, did they?
No.
We had to work with him. And yeah, they did find there, didn't they? There was somebody had tampered with the ship.
Yeah, so then they then started thinking, wait, maybe it got brought down by the Belters living on the planet. Maybe they shot it down. Because they were like, there's something, there was evidence that it looked like there were attack marks. Like, I don't know if they ever said bullet holes or anything, but it looked like something had been fired at the ship. So they're like, maybe it was intentional sabotage. It was actually the Belters that shot it down, even though they're claiming to not know anything about this.
Yeah.
So they were like, this prompts further investigation.
Yeah. And we did have a little bit with Alex, who was left to go through all the people and get them tested.
Yeah.
For infections. And he was getting on really well with that doctor woman, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And he was sitting on her, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Trying to say, do you want to go for a drink? You want to drink that stuff? He said, oh, yeah, that'd be fine. And then her husband turned up with
a kid. And said, yeah.
Are we four for dinner? And it's like, no, I'm all right. Okay, mate.
Maybe another time. And you're like, oh.
Oh, poor old Alex.
Struck out there.
Getting on. Yeah. And then we had Holden, Naomi, and the Belter woman. I don't know, but she was like the scientific woman, wasn't she?
Yeah.
They went down to they went to those weird monuments.
Mm-hmm.
And they worked out that they were over a billion years old.
And they were like, these were here before the planet was what it is now.
Mm.
And she got really excited, this scientist woman, because she was like, well, that means that there are three distinct biomes existing. And they're like, what do you mean by that? And he's like, well, there's the Belters, there's the planet as it is, and then there's this alien structure. So these three things, how are they intertwined? You know, was this planet terraformed, basically? Was it converted from whatever it was previously by the arrival of these aliens and the proto molecule? And did it change the whole makeup of the planet, you know, and all of this kind of stuff? And she was getting very excited about all of this. And they're just like, we just want to know if there's anything inside this thing. But when they checked them out, they were like, they just seem, they're dead. There's nothing. They're lifeless. There's no readings coming off them. There's no energy. You know, they're effectively, they're just dead monuments.
Yep.
So how could these things have come out of this when this isn't working at all?
No.
So they decided, right, that's that then. So they headed back to town, didn't they?
Yeah. There was a bit, what the girl, the Naomi, wasn't it? After they got back, she was feeling really ill, wasn't she?
Yeah, because she'd been acting as if this drug treatment she's been taking has been working. And she's like, oh, yeah, it's fine, fine. And they got back. And didn't she ask him, she said, do you want a drink? I'm going to get a tea. Do you want a coffee? And he's like, yeah, that'd be great. And then when she went off away from him, she then doubled over in pain. And it seems that the drugs aren't quite having the desired effect, because she got herself in the chair and hooked herself up to the drugs, like, because they have it. It's like a weird armband thing that goes around and injects and stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And so she got strapped into the chair and did all that. And then she passed out. And when she came to, was Alex was there, wasn't he?
I can't remember who it was.
And then I think it was Alex. And then he said something about the drugs are working, but you're pushing yourself. Your body isn't adapting as quick as you're trying to do too much.
Yeah. She's not quite acclimatized to it all yet. She's trying to, like, so going out with them two probably didn't help.
Yeah. So he said, you need to take it in. She said, I need to be involved in something. She's like, please, you can't tell Holden about that. And he's like, okay, well, you know, I'm going to monitor this because, you know, I don't want you overdoing it, but okay, I'll keep it between us for now.
Yeah. And we had the Belters, Ashford, that were talking about the theory that it was to do with somebody called Marco.
Yes.
And that, who's Marco?
I'm not sure. I can't think of who that
sure
is right
either.
Now, no.
Yeah, and they said they're going to need help, and including, is it Fred Johnson?
Yeah, they did mention Fred Johnson. They talked about the OPA and stuff.
We might need some help from him, and they mentioned him again. So I thought, oh, he's back in it this year then.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, we haven't seen him yet, have we?
Mm-hmm.
So then we had the bit where we had Miller again talking about something to do with the planet.
Yeah.
And then he went to see Holden again, didn't he?
Yes.
And that was quite funny, wasn't it? Because he was talking to him and said he needed his help.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was talking to him, the Naomi walked in. Obviously, he's talking to Naomi.
No, Naomi woke up. They were in bed.
Oh, that's right. She woke up. But she knows he sees him.
And he's just stood in the corner of the room talking to himself.
And she goes, is he here? And, it's like, obviously. And, yeah. So he said he wanted Holden to go back to the monument.
Mm-hmm.
And
because he said, we need your help. We need your hands.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. He said, because I can't touch anything. He said, you can. And Alex decided to go with him because Amos was chilling at the bar and getting drunk and chatting up some woman.
Yeah, because it was after going to the crash site and stuff. The other guy, the head of the expedition thing, he went off, and then Amos was like, I'm going to go in here, because they were already hostile towards him.
Oh, he said, like, your mate is no mate of mine.
No mate of mine. Now, how do I get a drink around here? And they're like, oh, what do you have to trade? And he had bullets.
Yeah.
And he was like paying in bullets. And then the second in command of that group that Owen's part of, she comes in and she's like, oh, look, what'd she say? Something like basically about him being rich. And he was like, hey, I can make more of these. You know, I've got a lab and stuff on the Rossi. I can make as many bullets as I want. I could be a king here. And he
Yeah. So they went off for the expedition, but he got chatting with her, and then obviously had a bit of action.
Yeah.
But then they got interrupted by a confrontation with settlers and the other captain
and
guy.
Owen. And they were basically sort of saying about, you know, accusations of their involvement. And they're like, you want to be careful what you say around here, and you want to be careful how you behave. And there was this really tense standoff. And I thought, oh, something's going to kick off.
They threatened him. Mm. Yeah, well, because one of them threatened him. And then he just blew his head off.
Yeah.
I went, damn.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. I was like, oh, dear, don't mess with him. He doesn't seem to Oh, yes. I thought that's going to cause trouble.
Alex came up with an excuse to allow Naomi to stay on the ship.
Yes.
I can't remember what he said exactly now, but he sort of gave a reason and Holden's like, okay, that's fine. And she sort of looked at him afterwards and sort of as if say, thank you. Like you did that in a subtle way.
Yeah. Because originally she said she was going to come with and he said, I can't remember what he said to her. He thought of something else.
Yeah.
She went, okay, yeah, cool. So yeah, so they went to the monument, didn't they?
Yeah.
And they found like a dip, a drop, wasn't there? And they said, well, we can get into this place from here.
Yeah.
And so they got down into it, didn't they? Like, gone down on their wires or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think it was Miller talking to him at the time.
I think
he was saying, apparently there was a route clogging up the works.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted him to get it out.
Yeah, and didn't Holden say something about, like, them being a really advanced civilization, but they never figured out a way to be able to deal with shrubbery or something? And he's like, hey, this was here first, and then the roots came, and... Yeah. We're, as you can see, we're not in a position to be able to do anything about this stuff. So
yeah,
it's like, you know, if it'd been here earlier when the aliens, whatever they are, first came, then maybe they could have done, but the roots came afterwards.
And so did he say something to him about like having him in his head just annoying? And Miller said, but if I still hear the voices of the victims of Eros.
Oh God, so that was horrible.
Just only hearing me is nothing for you.
Yeah.
He said, I still hear them all, you know, crying and screaming for help, and he said, I have to live with that. So then, yeah, so he released the room.
Yeah.
And then something started happening. Was it lights or sparks or something going off?
It was a bit of both, because clearly the root had been preventing whatever computer technology, machinery, whatever it is, I don't know, from being able to operate properly.
Mm.
And then by him cutting through it and removing it, it then started it all up again. But
and it started closing.
Yeah.
And oh my God, that was tense.
Because I got the feeling, I don't know if you did, but with it closing up, it's almost like that was the engine, like the inner workings.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like, well, the work's done. Now it's been turned back on again. This bit shuts because it's only meant to be opened when it's worked on, sort of thing.
Yeah, to protect the rest of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that was so close. I didn't think he was going to get out of there.
By the skin of his teeth.
I know. Skin of his toes. Because Alex got out, he was pulling him up and it was closing and closing. It's like, no, got out. So it feels like the monuments are firing up or something.
Yes, because
something's going on now.
When we got the view from outside and it sort of panned out and there was all these like lightning storm things and it was going across. It reminded me a little bit actually of that scene in Lost in Space.
Yes.
Where the big structure thing
things, yeah.
And the lightning storm was coming and it was like powering it all up. Yeah, so whether it was drawing the lightning to power it or whether it being turned on was causing the light, I don't know which way round that sort of happens, you know, whether it's causing the lightning or the lightning was charging the things or whatever, I don't know.
Yeah, because you know when they went with the girl originally, they were trying to find out if those magnetic things had come out of it.
Yeah.
But wherever they came from, potentially they're there to protect these monuments because that's why they attacked.
Yeah.
Because whatever this thing is, that they probably were connected to it in some, although they couldn't see, because obviously they sent the drone over, didn't they? And they couldn't find where
they
could
come out. Openings were there, no.
But if that opening was there all the time, did they come out of that bit?
Yeah, possibly.
Because they seemed to like just swarm, do what they had to do and then disappeared again.
Hmm.
But, you know, like do enough damage, like say if they could infect people or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think maybe they're the things that are looking out for it.
Yeah.
So we'll probably find out a bit more about them, won't we?
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to find out what this thing does.
Yeah.
Like, oh, so good.
So, yeah.
I do love this program.
So exciting. So good.
So complicated scientifically. And it's like, oh, so, yeah.
Yeah,
you know, I've seen things about, you know, like things of Mars and, you know, those sort of things, but the way they write this, whoever writes this, genius.
Well, I mean, it's based on a book series, so
is it? Yeah, so good.
Yes, very, very good.
Yeah. Yes,
well, there we go. So that's The Expanse.
Yes,
so more of that next week.
Yes, we'll expand on that next week.
Right, so let's move over to more comic book goings on and let's discuss this week's episode of Supergirl, which was the first in which is, makes it all the more annoying that it went on a break, because this was part one of a two-parter. And it was called Back from the Future part one.
Yes.
Now, I've got mixed feelings about this episode, because on one hand, there were things in it I liked. But on the other hand, it just seemed, I don't know, it didn't seem as exciting as it could have been. It's almost like maybe this was the setup for other stuff that's going to happen in the second part.
Yeah.
Because what, I mean, the premise of this one is that at the end of the last episode, you had the thing with Lex and Brainy were going to be working together, and Lex had a photograph of somebody he said could be of use that would have knowledge of the future. And he showed a picture of Wynn, who we haven't seen on the show for a couple of years. Jeremy Jordan's character, who used to be basically Brainy's character. He was the nerdy tech guy that worked at the DEO, and then he ended up going into the future with Mon-El and becoming part of the Legion of Superheroes.
Yeah.
And Brainy stayed because Brainy was part of that team. Brainy stayed and Wynn went in his place.
Yeah.
So we get this thing of like Wynn's back on Earth. So you had this whole thing with the prison break where there was a prison bus, and it turns out, see, now this confused me a little bit, because they didn't go into specifics of which one he was from, but it turns out that this Wynn is not our Wynn. It was Wynn from another Earth.
Yeah.
So another multiverse. So is he's a leftover from before the universe got rewritten?
Yeah.
Like we saw last week with some of those refugees, or is he from one of the new Earths in the multiverse? I never quite got a handle on where he was supposed to have come from.
No.
Or how he ended up here. But he was here anyway, and he was bad, so he was on a prison bus. But Brainy went and stopped the prison bus and broke him out and did a Terminator line when he was like, reached out to him and sort of said, come with me if you want to live, sort of thing. And he took him away, and it's because obviously Lex needs this guy.
Yeah.
And then obviously turns out he's a homicidal maniac. And we'd got introduced to the concept a couple of years ago that Wynn had a secret history, in that his father was actually a villain called the Toymaker.
Toyman.
But he was obviously, he was good, so he wasn't going to follow in his father's footsteps, and he was embarrassed about the fact that his father was a criminal and all of this kind of thing. Whereas this Wynn leaned into that legacy and was like, I'm going to take up the mantle and I'm going to make my dad proud and I'm going to be Toyman Jr. sort of thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's just a psycho. And he agreed to work with Lex, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then he was like, well, there's something you need to do. Like, they set up this thing anyway. They basically set up a thing which would get people's attention. There was a, handily enough, now this was one of those like, well, isn't that lucky that that was going on? There was a, like a convention, like a toy convention.
Toy convention, yeah.
Just happened to be happening around the time that this character comes into it. So he goes there, he basically sabotaged it. He created some killer toys that were like exploding and destroying stuff, which then brings the heroes in, so they have to go and investigate. But Wynn showed up. And by Wynn, I mean the real Wynn.
Yes.
And it's the Wynn from the future in a superhero suit with a mask and everything. And we then found out, obviously, that he, after going into the future, he married Lightning Lass, one of the people in the Legion. So he's married, and he knows, obviously, Nia's how many times great-great-great-great-great-grandmother.
That was interesting. I like that bit.
Yeah, I mean, Brainy's talked about that before, about how he knows Nura now, I think.
It's just the fact that he knew all about the powers, wasn't it? That was good.
And not only did he know about the powers, but he's got the powers.
Yeah.
Because some of the powers were somehow able to be replicated and put into his Legionnaire ring. Mm. So he's now got his own, he hasn't got abilities himself, but he's got the use of abilities through the ring that he wears.
Yeah.
So it's making him more of a powered individual. So yeah, he had this face off with himself, but then himself escaped. Because there was a dummy, like a mannequin or something, that I don't know how he got out of there, but then they're like, oh, there he is. And they like blew the thing up and the head came off, and it turned out it was a dummy. It wasn't actually a person.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I just felt like, okay, it's good to bring Wynn back, but we had the whole doppelgangers thing last week. And now they're doing it again this week. And I mean, it was a convoluted plan because it turns out that Lex didn't actually need the Badwin. What he needed to do was use the Badwin to cause trouble, which would draw out the real Win, which would allow Lex to get on his ship and steal
some memory thing.
Yeah, the technology on it, which he could then use to give to Lena. So Lena could
get her to work with him.
Work with him and restart and her mind control project thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was all very convoluted. It was like, but how would Lex know that bringing this other Win in would bring the real Win back from the, you know, I never quite got.
Oh, no, but didn't he say that he had a, well, didn't he say the reason he came is because thanks to this one, he knew another, like a bogus one had come to that Earth. He had a bounty on his head, didn't he? So he had to stop him.
Yeah, it affected his timeline. Yeah, it affected his timeline and made him like a wanted criminal.
That's what made him come to there, if you know what I mean.
But what I'm saying is, how did Lex know that that's how that was all going to go? How did Lex know? Well, if I use this Win, he'll then go on the most wanted list, which will make the real Win a fugitive, which will make the real Win come back because he'll want to clear his net. It's like, you know, I know he's a really good chess player and he's always thinking moves ahead and he's a genius, but really, he worked out that whole convoluted plan to do with time travel and this, that, and I don't know. I just found that a little bit hard. I mean, I suppose it's a comic book show. I shouldn't really think about it too much. But I was just a bit like, this to me just feels a bit weird. But that was the long and the short of this episode was all to do with that. It was all to do with Lex's plot. And he was using Brainy's help to get this Win, to get on the real Win ship, to get this device, to give to Lena so Lena could restart her project. Lena then, because of restarting her project, went to see, what's her name?
Andrea. Yeah.
Thinking that like she could get information to do with Leviathan and
none of that's happened yet.
And, yeah, and she's not been activated, so she doesn't have her powers. She's not working with or for Leviathan or anything like that. So that's one thing that is different. I mean, that's kind of it, isn't it? A lot of the rest of it was like, "Hey, Win's back. Let's catch up with Win. Hey, let's have these scenes where everybody's like, so, 'I missed you, Win,' and stuff like that." You know?
Yeah. So we had all the sort of funny stuff. Obviously, we had the bit with William though.
Yeah.
He thought there was a, he was saying about a connection.
Oh, yes. He's,
wasn't he the one that said there's a connection between Lex and Toyman? But also, what's the other thing he did? I had something else.
Well, it looks like he's going to get together with Kara.
Well, yeah. And also, because of the Leviathan stuff, that's what he needs the memory thing for.
Yeah.
So obviously, because he's trying to find out more about the stuff that he doesn't know anything about.
Yeah.
What was the bit about? Oh, yeah. And he sussed out that the mentor of Andrea is that woman in the picture with what's his name? Robocon. Skinner off the X-Files.
Yeah. I can never remember what his character name is, but yeah, him. Yeah.
The one thing I did like is the fight when they had the fight when the tiger with the tiger bit. Where Nia had looked into the future and saw a tiger, and then there was a tiger at the event.
Yeah, she had a weird dream, didn't she? Because she's obviously depressed and struggling because of this breakup with Brainy.
Yeah.
And she had this weird dream thing where she saw a tiger, and she saw him, actually, but then she didn't tell the rest of them that. She just said, a tiger. She said, I saw a white tiger. And then later on, you got these robot tigers. They looked like they were like out of Power Rangers or something.
Yeah.
And there was all these big robot tigers attacking this like amphitheater type.
Well, when they had the fight, they had the music, didn't they? The Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah. Again, another week in Supergirl where they used a song in the background of a fight, which was quite funny.
They seem to do that a lot, actually. And then wasn't it to do with Win telling her about her powers? She goes, I can do that. And so she realised she could use what she could do with her powers more than she realised for her fighting.
That's right, yeah.
That was quite cool. So that gave her a new thing that she didn't know she could do.
And she'd also had...
The fight was quite good.
Was it before that she had the conversation with Win? Yeah. Where he was, like, consoling her and he was telling her a little bit about her great-great-great-great-great-grandmother. And about her legacy and this, that and the other. And it made her happy again, sort of thing, of, like, you know, not to be... too upset about the here and now, think about the future and things like that. So, and but then he also noticed during that fight, the other significant thing, he noticed that Brainy was acting a bit weird, like the way Brainy looked. Mm. He was sort of stood off to the side watching this unfold, and then he looked over at Dreamer, and then the next thing he was involved fighting these tigers. But Wynn clocked all of this.
Yes.
So later on, he had a conversation with Brainy.
And he told him everything, didn't he?
Oh, that was so sad.
Because
he had like a complete breakdown, didn't he? And he was crying and everything.
Yeah.
And he was like saying to him, you know, this is what I have to do. This is what I was told. I can't tell anybody. You can't tell anybody. And he's like, but dealing with this and lying to my friends and breaking up with Nia and about he still loves her. And it was like, oh, poor old Brainy.
He's had to sacrifice a lot to do this, hasn't he?
Yeah.
You can see a few times where he wanted to help, but he's like stood there like, no, I've got to work with Lex. Can't get involved. It's like, oh, poor old Brain.
Yeah.
But yeah, so basically at the end of it, so we realised this guy, a bomb blew up and they thought they'd killed him, didn't they?
Yeah.
But he's not dead, is he? He's in a suit. He was in a suitcase on a screen.
Yeah, he was in a computer.
Yeah.
So it's like, has is he still alive or is he like digitized himself? Is he now like a computer version?
So we've got him still around. We've got Lex got some more information on the Leviathan.
Mm-hmm.
What's her name's got her Q waves to do her experiments.
Yeah, which isn't good because it's like I thought she'd moved away from that. Now we're in like the new reality that she wouldn't be going down that route. But again, she's going down that route no matter what she remembers happened last time. But there we go. Mm.
And also Kara worried about William because Lex had said that he'd destroy him. So she's now keeping him close to her, saying, let's work together on it.
Yeah. And you had that, the moment where it was like,
hadn't he?
The moment where it was like, oh, it's going to be more than just friends thing. Because they were that was so quite good, next to it. And then you're like, are they going to kiss? And then they didn't. And then she invited him to game night.
Yeah, because he was going to eat some, because I got my dinner and it was like some sandwich or something. She goes, no, you can't eat that. No. And he was going to take it with him. No, leave it. Just when they did, the lighthearted moment before we saw the reveal that Toy Man is still around was when they were doing the game night and they were playing Jenga.
Yeah.
And when she pulled the brick out, he could stop the tower falling and went, no, that is the point of the game.
Yeah.
It's supposed to fall down and we drink shots.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's so funny, that bit.
The other bit I really liked in that scene actually was because of the whole complication about Wynn. He couldn't introduce himself properly to William, so he said his name was Marty, which I thought was good because of it being like Back to the Future.
Yeah.
And obviously Marty McFly, I was like, that's quite a clever little nod there of like, you know, a little reference to Back to the Future and the fact that this episode is called Back from the Future. It was like, clever.
Yes. and also, wasn't it in this episode we saw Jean's new Batcave?
Oh, yeah, that was a very brief thing. That was when they had a bit where he sort of said, after everything that's gone on, and he said, you know, Team Flash have got their headquarters and you've got the Arrow Cave. And now we've got, oh, yeah, and that was when he said about the new meeting place. And Wynn said, oh, that's so cool. He said, in my time, it's called the Hall of Heroes or the Halls of Justice, sorry. And they were like, interesting. And then he said, well, I felt we needed our own base of operations for when it's stuff just to do with our team, so I set this up. And they're like, oh, well, that's really cool. And there's all these like buttons and all of these like if you need to get in touch with anybody,
all the symbols for everything. Yeah.
And he said it was called the Lighthouse.
Yeah so that's the thing now, obviously. So
yeah, they have a base,
the secret place everybody seemed to get invited.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder why they need another secret place. Well, I suppose it makes sense. Actually, no. Yeah, scrap that. I was going to say, why do they need another secret place when they work for the DEO and they've got a place, but then it's like the DEO's run by Lex now, so they don't want to...
Yeah, that's why they created...
Have their secret meetings there. Yeah.
They've got to be able to do stuff away from him because he'll find out what's going on otherwise.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Mm. But, yeah, it was a bit mishmashy and...
It was nice seeing... Jeremy Jordan coming back because I always enjoyed his character on the show. I thought Wynn was a good character and it's cool seeing him return and that he's more confident and he's like, now he's a hero himself.
Was it Kara that liked him?
Yeah, they had a bit of a...
It's when he said about he had a wife and a child and she sort of went, oh, child.
But didn't she... didn't he also like her more than she liked
him? She liked him.
Because when she got together with... Monel that time, he was very upset.
Very jealous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he was always like arguing with Monel and being really like, Monel was like, hey, you're Kara's friend, I'm going to be really good friends with you. And he's like,
yeah, go away. But yeah, we'll see what happens in the second bit. So maybe it'll be a bit, what, he's still there, the guy's still there, what's going to happen next?
Yeah. So well, yeah, we have to wait now. Yeah.
So then.
Moving on. That brings us to the final thing.
Da, da, da.
We have to talk about something else. We have to become something.
Yeah, this is
we
quite
are confusing. The Green Podcast. Dun, 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 dun,
dun. For the final time.
I want to know, just to start with, how do you feel about this finale? Do you think they did a good job? Did it leave you feeling a bit meh, bit, you know, what was your overall take on it?
It was confusing to watch.
Okay.
Again, because there were so many bits, and then there was bits, and then there was going backwards and forwards bits as well. And I could see some of the relevance to what they were showing, but I don't know. I wasn't sure.
For me, I felt, as a finale, I think they did a good job.
They covered all bases, I suppose.
Yeah, it rounded out the show. And I think a lot of this episode was, I don't know how to put it. You know, like when you see, not a documentary, but like that kind of thing where they go, and in this hour, we're going to be taking a look back at the legacy of Arrow. And it's like, you know, we get all these flashbacks of, because that's what happened. We basically got a here and now plot, which was a, here is everybody still trying to deal with the loss of Oliver and this new world they're living in. And then you've got all of these like, oh yes, this thing that reminds me of something. And then it goes to a, like an old scene. And we got to see lots of scenes from previous seasons of Arrow. So it was like a greatest hits package in a lot of ways,
yeah,
with all of these flashbacks. But this time they weren't flashbacks. They were memories. They were like Diggle remembering when he first started working with him.
They were getting interviewed, weren't they? So we had the mum who said, I can't believe I died and now I'm alive. And he's dead.
That's something. The fact that one of the things, because we found out throughout the course of this episode that by rebirthing creation, he was able to tweak a few things. So one of the things he tweaked was the fact that Tommy is alive again and his mum is alive again.
Yeah, and then didn't they show that bit where the mum was tied up and that all changed, didn't it?
Yeah, we got a variation. Now, this was kind of clever in a way because they cut it to the point where you didn't actually see the resolution. But it was the same scene from years ago when Deathstroke had them all tied up and he had the mother and he was going to kill her.
Yeah.
And then Oliver broke out of his bonds and fought with Deathstroke, but ultimately Moira still got killed.
Yes.
What they did this time was they didn't show the death. They just showed the fight and the struggle. And then it cuts back to the present day and it's like...
And the mum.
Yeah, and that he was able to overpower Deathstroke, preventing her from dying.
Yeah.
So
we had them all in a row, didn't we? Like Diana talking about him, Renee talking about him.
Yeah.
Some woman that did the director of that. When they had that, you know, they were filming in the precinct.
Yes, that's right. Because she said originally... It was about a here and now documentary, but it's now turned into like a kind of in memoriam sort of thing about Oliver Queen, the Emerald Archer sort of thing about his legacy.
Yeah. And then obviously and Diggle as well.
Yeah. And Diggle as well. And Diggle again, when Diggle spoke, it was the remembering when he was first Oliver's bodyguard and him trying to change Oliver's ways of like saying, you know, you don't have to go out and murder everybody because that makes you a murderer. And that's again.
Yeah.
The evolution of the series, a lot of this was all about like how the series evolved and changed over time. And they paced it in an interesting way because you had all of those bits. And then you had things like, oh, here's Mia. And Mia was in the future. So it's then moving on how over the years it got introduced the concept that Oliver became a father and had a family and stuff. So it was clever in a way. They did the progression of Arrow through the years by these flashbacks, but also by showing sort of like, now we'll show a scene with one of Oliver's children. So this is entering into the phase of Oliver Queen, the father, you know, and things like that. So it was like the progress of him over the years and over the seasons, I felt.
Yeah, pretty much.
She got visited by Sarah, who...
Yeah, in the future. She went to 2040 to bring her back in time.
So she could go to Oliver's funeral.
The funeral, yeah.
And that, again, this was set after the Green Arrow and the Canaries episode. So she's got all their memories. She knows everything now. So she wasn't that, I mean, she was surprised to see Sarah in her bedroom, but she also wasn't like, who the hell are you kind of thing? Because she remembers all of that timeline now. So yeah, she brought her back in time. And then what was cool, one of the cool things as well, was the fact that they brought so many old cast members back.
Yeah, we had loads of people. We had Curtis.
Yeah. And Ragman.
And yeah, Ragman, yeah.
Rory, who got a name drop the other week.
Yeah.
When they were, was it when they got introduced to Mick Rory and Wild Dog said, we used to have a Rory on our team.
Yeah.
And then we got to see him this week and we even got a little bit, didn't we? Because I forgot about the fact that his magical rags like lost their powers.
Yeah.
And he went off to try and recharge them. So we had a reference to that and he said, oh, I've kept in touch with Oliver, but it was a long, hard road to get these things to, you know, back to where they were supposed to be. So it's like, ah, so now they've given an in-series explanation as to why we never saw him again.
Yeah.
The real reason is the cost of the special effects was quite high, but when he went into his, like, you know, his form of using his rags and stuff.
Yeah.
So they were able to splurge that last bit of budget in the final episode by having him there and using his rags to overpower everybody and stuff.
Yeah. So we had the bit, because when Mia came back, she explained what happened, that the last thing that she remembers is they were at the thing, memorial stone, which we showed later, and her getting attacked and William getting taken. So basically, and Diggle's already mentioned that we have, the mission isn't over. There's got to be something else we have.
Yeah, because one of the other things that Oliver had done was like he'd basically made Star City crime free.
Yeah.
So they were like, well, there's no need for us anymore. We don't need to. And then Diggle's like, no, the mission always goes on. And he remembered that again, another flashback of Oliver always saying about like the mission is always that, you know, it's always there. There's always another fight. There's always another thing around the corner. So he's like, I have to take the lead now. Now Oliver's not here. I have to be the one that does what Oliver does. So they
were all going about, like, no one had heard from Felicity. And we had Curtis and that working on how to see if they could find out where William was. And then she turned up, didn't she?
Yeah.
And she got cracking on the old computer. And goes, the most important mission, save William.
I like that. That scene was good. I wondered whether that day, when they recorded that, that was the first day of her on set, because they all looked genuinely...
Because it was very emotional, wasn't it?
Yeah. Like,
oh, lovely to see you again, sort of attitude.
Yeah.
So she got cracking and he goes, suit up, so that all the ones that got suits suited up.
Yeah, oh yeah, because we have to... You missed a little bit, was the fact that William in this timeline got kidnapped.
Still young, yeah.
And that's why all the heroes came together, because somebody snatched this, the present day timeline version of William. And I thought, poor old William, he's getting kidnapped by everybody all the time.
Both times.
And that's why they all came together. And that's why Felicity came back, because they weren't sure whether she was going to come back for the funeral. But then when the whole thing of like William getting kidnapped came up, it was like, well, she has to come back to work with the team to use her computer technology stuff to be able to see if they can track him down and things.
Yeah.
And Mia was staying on the sidelines the whole time, wasn't she?
Yeah, and because earlier on when we'd seen the bit where Diggle was talking to Oliver about his killing people, he had apprehended this guy, his name was John Byrne, and he was going to kill him. He annihilated everybody, didn't he? And when he got to him, he didn't kill him.
Yeah.
And it turns out he's the guy that's kidnapped William.
Yeah, so an act of mercy came back to bite him, because this guy is now, after being in prison all these years, has now been released from prison, and with no Green Arrow to stop him, goes after and kidnaps Oliver Queen's son.
Yep.
But what he didn't reckon with was Oliver Queen's daughter.
Who apprehended him, which is brilliant, that was.
Because they were all looking here, there and everywhere. Nobody could find him. And then Mia was the one that actually was able to find him. And she had that standoff and she was like, he was like, you might be wearing that suit, but blah, blah, blah. They're talking about Oliver Queen and stuff. And she was thinking about legacy and honoring his legacy and being the Green Arrow. Because Dinah had had a chat with her, hadn't she? And she sort of said, your father was proud of you. And there's a reason that he passed that mantle on to you. You are worthy and all of this stuff. So with all that in mind, she could have killed him because she was on the verge of doing it. But then she stopped herself.
Yeah, because remember, she was really the way she was when he first met, when he met her in the future.
She was like he was.
And he told her she didn't have to kill because she was going to kill everybody, wasn't she? And she thought about what he told her and she didn't kill him, did she?
Yeah.
So then she was all over the news was like, oh, look, Green Arrow's daughter.
Well, they didn't. Well, they just said another hero who has been inspired by the Green Arrow's legacy.
And Felicity was keeping away from her because she was scared to meet her daughter that she knew she'd just put her to bed.
Yeah, and she was like, it would be strange meeting her now when I know that my version is just, you know, just down the road, tucked up in bed type thing.
Yeah. So once that was all over, we also had Quentin was there. Which
yes,
was
another person that got brought back from the dead.
Yeah, Laurel gone to see him, and that was lovely, wasn't it? About, I'm so sad, why didn't he bring back your Laurel? And he goes, you're my Laurel.
I mean, I'm still confused by that explanation because they'd said that after the Green Arrows and the Canaries episode where it was like, well, this is Earth 2 Laurel, not the Laurel from this Earth. Yeah. And that will be made clear in the final episode. I'm none the wiser. We don't really know why Oliver chose to keep her and not bring back the original Laurel and stuff like that. So that's still all a little bit confusing, but I suppose that gives them potential to maybe flesh that out a bit further if the Green Arrow and the Canary series does get commissioned.
Yeah.
They could use that to flesh it out a bit more.
So then we had the final close down of the cave and they've cleared it all out, haven't they?
Well, yeah, because they were
saying the mission was over now.
Mm. And he said that he was moving to Metropolis.
Yes.
Interestingly, because he said, you know, there's no reason to be here anymore. So he said, we're going to move, change the scenery. And we're going to Metropolis. And I thought, so that means that he'll probably be in the Superman TV show that's coming out then.
Yes, that's him. And she's going as well, wasn't she?
Yeah, Dinah said she also, because she had the chance to become the new chief of... No, what was the job? There was a job title, because there were two job titles. Renee basically was told, you're going to become the mayor. But she was going to become something. And she was like...
Was it like district, not district attorney, was it? Like,
something like that. But she said there's no point in a city that has no crime. There's other places I could go where I could probably be more useful.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she said she was also going to Metropolis.
I thought she said she was as well. That's what I put. Tigger and Dinah are moving on at the same place. So. Hmm. Oh, well.
But we know from Green Arrow and the Canaries that she never made it there.
True. So, yeah, so they closed down the Batcave, the Arrow Cave.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to the memorial.
That was really nice.
Unveiling the big statue of Ollie.
Yeah,
and
Quentin's
speech was so good, wasn't it?
Mm, and you got all these different characters, and I was trying to spot people. I was like, hey, there's that character. And Anatoly was there, and there was other little people that have featured over the years that were all sort of stood in the back rows and things like that.
Annika was there, his sister.
Emiko.
And Emiko, whatever her name is.
Yeah, she was there. Because that was interesting, because the fact that her history had also been rewritten. And she wasn't the bloodthirsty psycho that she was when we met her in the original reality. And she actually approached Moira and Thea, didn't she?
Yeah.
And they were really welcoming to her. And they were like, you're part of this family. You're Thea's sister and things like that. So it was like, oh, that's quite nice.
We had the two, what are they called? Oh, I can't remember what the place is. You know, Ra's al Ghul, what was he called?
Oh, yes, Ra's al Ghul.
Ra's al Ghul.
Talia and Nissa. Yeah.
Yeah, they were there.
Yeah, they were there.
And we had Barry.
Well, Barry showed up afterward. Barry wasn't there at the memorial thing.
Oh, no, he was at the funeral, wasn't he?
So you had the memorial thing. They all had candles and the statue was unveiled. And that was all really nice moment with everybody all being there to honour. And like loads of other people, which was clearly like citizens of Star City, had come out for this memorial. And then the following day, presumably, was the actual funeral. And that's when
Barry casket with no body in.
Yeah, they just said they put some of his belongings in there and stuff.
Yeah.
Barry and Kara showed up.
Yeah. That's when the Russian guy was there. I didn't see him. I don't remember.
No, he was at the memorial as well.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
And they just said, who's going to do the speech? And they got Diggle to do the speech.
Yeah. And he talked about then, Oliver changing people's lives and things like that and how much he had done for the city and that even though he's gone, he's still here. And it was almost like talking about the show and the Arrowverse as a whole, because he said,
it was, yeah,
he's the one that brought us all together. He's the one that created all of this. You know, when he started this, he didn't realize what he was starting, and it's grown into something so much bigger than he could ever possibly have imagined. And it's like,
It was like the writer of this program didn't ever realize how far he was going to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Then they showed them all like going off on their way, going wherever. And then we had Diggle at his, he was getting in the car.
Yeah.
What happened there?
There was a voiceover and he was talking about things like not being forgotten and that there were probably, you know, something like there were more adventures down the road. And he said, one thing that this journey has taught me over these past 8 years is to expect the unexpected. And then
we had some sort of flash, didn't we? Whatever this was.
And a meteorite.
Meteorite, that's what it was.
Tearing through the sky and crash landed not far from where he was. So he then goes to investigate. And while
It went flying, didn't he? Because he was stood looking, it saw something. And as it landed, it made him go flying towards his car. Then he went towards what had landed.
The blast knocked him backwards, but then he went over to investigate. But before we saw what he found, it then cut to other people. So it showed Mia go, like back in the future, and it showed William with Moira and Thea and people like that. Obviously, we got the thing that Thea and Roy are going to get married.
Yeah, finally.
We saw Dinah on her bike riding out of town.
Yeah.
But obviously, she's never... So again, we didn't get an answer as to how she ends up in the future. She just left town and was never seen again.
And never remembered again.
And we just got all these looks, just quick flashes of all the different characters. But the big final moment, was after the crash of the meteorite, it cuts back to Diggle and he walks towards his thing and there's a smoking crater in the ground and he looks down and he reaches down and there's a box and he opens the box and we never got to see what was in it, did we?
No, because I was going, what was that? What was it?
All that happened was that all this green light bathed over him.
But, oh.
And it was like, that's it. And now that it's over, do you remember when it showed in Crisis, we got the rebirthing of all the worlds?
Yes.
And we got Earth 12, the Green Lantern universe?
Yes.
And if you go back to last year's crossover, Elseworlds,
yes,
when he met Barry Allen from the alternate universe, the older Barry Allen, who said to him, John, you're not wearing your ring. And it was like, what? And then he was like, oh, it mustn't have happened here yet. So there was all these little mentions. And then we got the revelation that Diggle's dad was a army captain and his actual surname was Stuart.
Okay.
Which makes Diggle really John Stuart. John Stuart, who was the Green Lantern.
Ah, so that's the relevance to what happened at the end there.
So that bit at the end was basically he's going to become the Green Lantern.
He's going to become the Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Ooh, that was cool. Because I thought it was Oliver going to appear or something. And then we went to 2040, didn't we?
Yeah.
Where we saw the bit from the end of the last season where Felicity was waiting with a monitor and said she was ready.
Yeah.
And then they went through a portal.
Yeah.
And then we saw her in the office. She looked like she was when she first started there, wasn't she?
Yeah, and it was the...
And she was like, all in awe of everything.
Queen Consolidated or whatever it's
That's
called.
That's right. And she's having a look around it and everything.
And then she said something about, this isn't right. This should be on the other floor or something. I can't remember. She said something about something wasn't quite right about this.
Yeah.
And then she heard the voice and she looked around and Oliver was stood in the doorway.
Yeah.
And then he basically said, I made some adjustments. In response to her saying about how things weren't quite right, things had been changed. And then that was really nice. And they had a big hug. And it's like, oh, they're reunited together now.
They said, this isn't how we thought the afterlife would be.
But then it was weird because it was like, it was ambiguous as to, is it the afterlife or is it?
Because they did a funny flashback to when it all started, didn't they? From when she first met him.
Yeah. And it was like him stood in the corner watching her when she was talking about him out loud and stuff like that.
Yeah. But yeah, so.
Back in the day when she was like really scatterbrained and stuff.
Really geeky. Yeah. Wasn't she? Yeah. And she'd always like help. Oh, I'll sort it. She was like, oh, he's lovely. I love him.
Yeah.
He's not going to look at me, but never know. And that was quite, I like that. And then, but when it showed them like looking out the window.
And then it sort of turned, the camera went from them looking out the window to outside the building, didn't it?
Yeah. And it's just like an empty building.
Well, it was a Queen Consolidated building. And then it was in a city.
Yeah.
So it zoomed out and there was a city. So
where are they?
What I was saying before is that, even though she said about not imagining that this was going to be what the afterlife was like and stuff, he kind of smiled and sort of things like that. But he never once actually said, this is the afterlife. He never once said, yes, we're dead. This is, you know, heaven or whatever. There was always left ambiguous.
Yeah.
Just in the same way that we were unsure previously of, was he actually dead?
Yeah.
They did the same with this of like, this may just be like a pocket universe because he's like a godlike being now. He shaped it to be familiar. So it was felt like home and stuff. Yeah, for her. But they're not dead. They're not in the afterlife.
But she just presumed, didn't she?
Yeah.
She just presumed that's what was going to happen because he told her he dies in the crisis.
Mm.
So she wanted to eventually join him. And she's just presumed, I'm dead now with him, but I'm with him. But it looks like we're in a reality, but we're not.
Mm.
But they might be.
Yeah.
So it left you like going, whoa.
So it was, like I said, I think they did a good job because as much as it was like a greatest hits, like tribute to Arrow show, they did have a little bit of, I mean, I felt the whole William of this timeline getting kidnapped, which is what brings the heroes all together thing, was kind of unnecessary.
Mm.
I would have preferred them to have stuck to the documentary sort of format that they had at the beginning, because it seemed like the episode was three different things across the course of the episode. It started out as the documentary thing. Then it became a traditional, there's a thing we have to do. Everybody has to suit up and save the day. And then it went to the tribute memorial funeral section ending of the show. So it was like split up into three parts. And it's like, I don't feel they needed that middle section. I don't think they needed to come together to solve a crime at the end of it.
No.
You know, that bit could have been taken out and they could have just done more characterization work and more sort of them reminiscing and more scenes of just the gang together, just having a laugh and talking about, oh, this one time when this happened. Or
yeah, some of the really highlight moments rather than that. That would have been more enjoyable, wouldn't it?
So that's my only criticism, but I think...
Yeah, it was nice though, otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the time, it's very hard to please people when it comes to a final ever episode of a show. It's like, how are they going to end it in a way that satisfies people? And I
know that
from...
From when my program finishes in this year.
Yeah.
Are they going to end my program and go, they better do a tribute for 5 years?
Supernatural.
Supernatural, yeah. Again, you go, after all this time, they've got to end, you want it to end in a right way, don't you? So, like you say, there's always going to be somebody saying, oh, I wish they'd done that instead, or why didn't they do that? And
but
so
I think
it is must be hard for writers.
I think they actually did. I came away from this being satisfied with it and thinking, I think that was a good way to end it, because there was enough little nods and references and callbacks to the history of the series. There was enough little... references to look how we've progressed and
also the going forward
and the going forward
tie in with the stuff that we'd seen
you know, here are little nuggets of stuff to do with the future of like this show
to
might be ending, but there's more to come in the future sort of thing.
So letting us know we're going to see some of these particular characters again.
I mean, it's like, you know, we're obviously going to see Dinah, Laurel, Mia, William and Wild Dog in Green Arrow and the Canaries, if that gets commissioned. We'll have Diggle in Superman and possibly showing up other places, because I'm sure I saw something recently to say that he's going to be guest starring in an episode of The Flash at some point.
Well, yeah, because they're to do with the crisis and that. some of those people might appear in those shows anyway, mightn't they?
Yeah.
They're supposed to all be in the same place.
So, I mean, they could quite easily scatter them out into other shows.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we will see what happens. But, all in all, I think it was good.
Yes. Very good.
I wouldn't say it was a 10 out of 10, but I would definitely say it was a...
8.
8.5, maybe.
But, yes, it's done now, so... If you've never watched Arrow, go back and watch the whole thing.
Yeah, now the whole thing's finished. You can go and watch all the box sets and binge watch it.
Yeah, binge watch it. It's definitely worth it.
Mm. So, now...
It's the end of an era for that.
It is. We move forward into a no-Arrow Arrowverse.
Mm.
So it's going to be interesting. Because obviously the fallout from this, the fallout from Crisis and from Oliver's death is going to be felt for quite some time. So even though the show is gone...
Yeah,
he's not gone, and like they, you know, the team and references to stuff to do with them won't be gone for any time soon, I can't imagine.
No. Okay, well, that's the lot, isn't it?
So that's the lot. Yeah, I think that we're done for this week. So next week, yes, we'll see what the Legends get up to in their next wacky adventure.
And how Flash.
And how Flash. Yeah.
How they deal with what's happening. That's going to be good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to, because now it's the Flash, the first Flash after Crisis, so...
Yeah, so that's what I meant. We've seen all the others come back. I'm really excited to see what happens on that.
Yeah, and what the rest of the season's going to bring for them, what story, now that, you know, what villain are they going to have, and things like
and
that.
And is Cisco still...
Vibe.
Or will he be allowed to revert back?
Because that's the thing, we've seen the changes that things have made to some of the other shows. We've yet to see... potential changes that have been made to
and
the Flash
what
world.
Are the consequences to Wells?
Yeah. Exciting.
Tune in next week, same time.
Yep.
Same place.
Yep.
Ta-ta for now.
So thank you very much for listening, everybody, and hopefully you've enjoyed today's show. And as I said at the beginning, if you did, please leave us a like. Please leave us a comment on the YouTube channel or wherever you're listening. If you've got a way to comment or review, please do that. Please give us feedback. It really, really does help. And subscribe to the YouTube channel, whether you're listening through YouTube or listening from somewhere else. Go to my YouTube channel. Subscribe. Help build the Kingdom of Geeks bigger and better. I've got lots of new things coming up in the future. A couple of the series that I've been doing are coming to an end. And so I've got some new things coming up. And yeah, just keep an eye out on what I'm going to be doing this year. Also, check out the description box on the YouTube video, because it will have the link to the timestamps for the episode, plus the links to my donation mediums, to my merch shop, to my Twitter, and for Green Man Gaming, which I mentioned at the beginning. So check all of those out and help out the show in whatever way you can. Buying a t-shirt helps the show. Donating helps the show.
Downloading a game.
Yeah, helps the show. All these things help. We don't make money from anywhere else. We're not sponsored. We don't have adverts or anything like that. So if we want to get anything for the channel, anything for the podcast and stuff like that, then we're reliant on you guys being generous. So if you can help out in any way, that would be greatly appreciated.
Yep.
But we don't charge you for the podcast. So at the same time, you're not obliged to do any of those things either.
So yeah, if you just want to enjoy, that's good too.
Yeah,
we want you to listen, because we enjoy talking about them, and we're hoping you're appreciating them.
Exactly. Thank you very much once again, Mum, for joining me.
You're welcome, as always,
and I look forward to chatting to you again next week.
Indeed.
And also, everybody, if you can leave in the comments happy birthdays for Geek Mom, because if you're listening to this on Sunday, the 2nd of February, it's my mum's birthday.
It's my birthday! So cake.
Yeah, actual cake. Contact me and I'll tell you where you can send presents for her.
The cake, yeah.
So yes, if you can leave happy birthdays for my mum, then I would really appreciate that.
So would I. That'd be lovely.
Happy birthday, Geek Mom.
Yay.
So that'll do us. So all I've got left to say is, you take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye-bye. Bye.